Welcome to the Winning with Shopify podcast. This is the podcast to help you scale your Shopify store into a money-making machine. The subscription market is predicted to grow to nearly $500 billion by 2025. With Recharge, e-commerce merchants of all sizes can launch and scale subscription offerings. Over 15,000 merchants are currently using subscriptions powered by Recharge, allowing them to grow their business and rely on predictable recurring revenue. Start turning transactions into long-term customer relationships today by visiting rechargepayments.com. Now, over to your host, Nick Truman.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Winning with Shopify podcast. If it's the first time tuning in, welcome to the show. My name's Nick. I've been hosting this for over 2 years now. We had a two-year anniversary just a few weeks ago. And when I say anniversary, Byron, who some of you have heard from before, Byron and I, we raised a small sandwich at lunchtime. We didn't do anything fancy. But welcome to the show if it's your first time. Please hit the subscribe button, leave us a little review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. It really helps us promote the show. If you've been listening to us for ages, welcome back. It's an absolute pleasure to have you guys with us. If you haven't already, but you do have a question or a suggestion, make sure you check out our website, winningwithshopify.com. On the website, we've got several forms. Fill out any form you want. Spoiler alert, they all come to the same person. So if there's anything you want to hear about on the show, or you've really enjoyed this series, feel free to reach out to Recharge as well. And I'll talk more about that in a second if you haven't been tuning in previously. Feel free to give us some feedback about what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show. If you don't like something about the show, keep it polite. We are all humans. But yeah, if you've got any suggestions or particular topics you'd like us to cover, or even if you would like to come on as a guest as well, or sponsor or anything like that, get in touch with us via the website. It's winningshopify.com. Coming on to today then. So today is our fifth and final episode with Recharge. And if you haven't been listening to the previous episodes, I highly recommend after you finish today's episode, go back and listen to some of the previous ones. We've had a couple of the guys from Recharge themselves, we've had a couple of stores, and today we're going to finish things off with a very special guest who is also a customer of Recharge. Our guest today, her name's Lindsay, and she is the CEO and founder of a website called Byte. So without further ado, Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Nick. I'm excited. We're big fans of Shopify over here.
Good stuff. Well, that's always a good start. And obviously, if you're using Recharge and Shopify, plug and play like you would not believe. As we always do at the start of every episode, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Lindsay, and a little bit about Byte as well, and then we'll kind of dive in from there.
Yeah, sounds great. So Byte stands for Because It's the Earth. We make plastic-free personal care in subscription format. We've been on Shopify since 2018 and with Recharge the entire time. So I started Byte in my living room. I was working as a TV producer. I've always been super passionate about conservation and the environment, but I was traveling all the time for work and going through those little toothpaste tubes. And so I wanted to find an alternative, but everything was either packaged in plastic or had, you know, these ingredients that I had no idea was in toothpaste to begin with. And so I wanted to make something that was better for the planet and better for our bodies. So our first product was a toothpaste tablet, Byte Toothpaste Bits. And it's a dry little tablet. It's kind of like a Smartie almost. You pop it in your mouth, you bite down, and you start brushing with a wet toothbrush and it starts foaming up. So, you know, subscription was built into our business from the very beginning because honestly, it was the easiest way to do things and the most eco-friendly. So, you know, most people brush their teeth twice a day. That means 62 tablets in a month. When you're able to portion it out that way, you know how many tablets a person needs. So if we can ship it to them every 4 months, we're able to, you know, cut down that shipping cadence, which is one of the biggest carbon footprints of, you know, e-com. And we're able to then build a really healthy business online and with a subscription.
Amazing. And I think you've probably covered almost every single topic we're going to talk about today, which is brilliant. From Shopify to subscriptions and also through to, you know, you mentioned carbon footprint. Sustainability is a really important part I'm finding of almost every single store we talk to. You know, whether it shows it on the face of it or not, everybody's thinking about, as you say, how do we have less deliveries, less packaging, and most importantly, less plastic. I think we're all aware of the problem plastic is causing to our lovely planet. But it's quite an interesting start to all of that then. So you were obviously working as a TV producer, traveling a lot and thinking, and I assume, is it for flying that you could only take a certain quantity of toothpaste, or was it purely space in your suitcase?
Right, that's exactly it. So when you're filming a TV show, you're usually only there for a few days. So you have to travel carry-on only, because if you lose your luggage, you know, that you lose the tapes involved for the TV show and everything. So it all has to be carry-on. You have to have it with you. So you have those luggage constraints. But then, you know, it started off as a travel thing, but then when I started looking at, you know, just the massive amount of waste that's being produced by, you know, the oral care industry in general, and then all of the harsh chemicals and preservatives that are in most commercial toothpaste, it became something that was like, wait, we're doing this every day, twice a day, whether I'm traveling or not, there's got to be a better solution. So, you know, it started as something with travel, but then became part of the everyday routine.
And I mean, I'm always fascinated by all the stories, and I'm in such a privileged position, I get to ask the questions. So the next question I think is really, really relevant here is, okay, so you highlighted a problem. How did you go about actually developing that first product? Like, did you just, you know, sort of disappear to university or college for 5 years and learn about how toothpaste are produced? Or how did you come about actually creating the product itself?
Nights and weekends on Google. Like, I spent so much time. I kept my TV job, you know, which was an incredibly like fun, but incredibly demanding job. And I just built this as a side project, you know, so I would work for my TV job, you know, from 8 a.m. until 7 o'clock at night. And then I'd go home and eat a quick dinner and then work on Bite until 2 a.m. And so, you know, for me, especially at the beginning, because I was so passionate about, like, I'm a long-term vegan, I've been living a low-waste lifestyle for a really long time. This was something that was, it wasn't just a business for me. It was like an impact that I could have in a positive way on the planet, you know? And so it was something that I loved kind of doing at nights and on weekends. I took online chemistry classes. I talked to dentists, dental hygienists. I bought a bunch of different powders and was just kind of experimenting in my living room of all these different types of formulas. And then I eventually bought a tableting machine, started learning how to tablet, which is an entirely different skill. it's definitely a science. Yes. But it kind of felt like, you know, like I was making art. I didn't feel pressured. I didn't care. It wasn't about like making money or how quick can I get this to market. It was just kind of like, what am I going to be doing today? And what am I going to be trying today? And what didn't work, what did work, and kind of just really flowy about it. And I think that's what really gave me the motivation to keep going, especially at the beginning.
And I imagine with that response, you probably made a lot of other people feel very guilty for quite simply, and I mentioned this a couple of times actually over the course of this month, simply doing what I did many years ago when I started a Shopify store, which my ad completely failed. I persisted very, very, very badly. But we just went on Alibaba and bought some products. We made a logo in about 5 minutes on Photoshop and said, right, chuck that on the side of the sunglasses and we'll buy, you know, a few thousand units and try and flog them on Google. I think the dedication from you, that it wasn't even the fact that you were trying to, you know, get a scientist to come up with something. You became the producer of the product, the actual inventor, which I just find amazing. So you literally doing chemistry classes at weekends. I mean, you must have had great breath with all of the toothpaste. I imagine you probably had to try a lot of it as well.
Yeah, actually, at one point I used lemon oil in one of, when we first started, I was making these different flavors at the very beginning, and I used lemon oil for something that we had called summer citrus. And I actually like burned my taste buds off for like a month.
No.
I couldn't taste anything. And I was like, okay, good to know. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously I didn't sell it to customers, but you know, I was prime. I was test subject number one, and it was not all successful at the beginning. That's for sure.
Wow. I mean, again, fascinating story. I mean, I lost a load of money on Alibaba, but I think losing your taste for a month, and I guess it was obviously 2018, way pre-COVID as well. So yeah, before it was cool, I guess.
Exactly.
So that's where the product came from. Let's talk a bit more about the tech then. So you mentioned straight away, massive fan of Shopify, which obviously is, yeah, it gets you in the door of our studio to come on the podcast. But how did you choose Shopify? Why did you come up with Shopify? What was it about Recharge that got you started in the first place? Kind of, you said you've been using both since the very beginning.
Yeah, I mean, both Shopify and Recharge are game changing, right? Like this, I don't have a tech background. I literally was able to set up a Shopify website over a weekend with some iPhone photos, you know? So the first Shopify site was a template. It was not super cool. It was iPhone photos that I took, you know, in my living room. And it was a plugin, which was Recharge, so people could have a subscription, you know? And so that was the very beginning. I had done, you know, I think at the time, there's a bunch of different ways that you could start your own business online. I don't even actually know what they were, but I did quick research and Shopify was the one that was the most intuitive and I needed that. Mm. So, you know, now, of course, we have, you know, this amazing website and things are custom and, you know, things are being written in code and everything. But at the very beginning, it was just a Shopify template, some iPhone photos, and some plugins. And it was really amazing how fast I could get it up.
Yeah, definitely. And anyone who's tuned in for the show for a while will know that I've said this quite a lot, that I sometimes feel like a, you know, I feel like a sort of very old parent in saying to people that are setting up Shopify stores today, like, you know, you kids don't know what, you don't know how easy you've got it.
Yeah.
You know, 15 years ago, I started working in this industry and I remember, you know, kind of hard coding everything. I remember my first SEO project, we didn't even have things like Google Analytics and conversion tracking. It was literally just, you sort of phoned the bank every now and then and they told you what the bank balance was. And you went, well, we've obviously sold some products. It's quite as bland as that.
Yeah, it's totally, you know, and anything, there were so many things that I didn't know, but that's what, it's just you, I feel like you get better at learning. So it was just like, okay, you know, how do I, you know, upload this or how do I do that? Or how do I, and you just go on YouTube and you look up and there's some, you know, kid in this parent's basement explaining how to do it, you know, and you're like, oh, that's how you install a shop or like, that's how you install a Facebook pixel. And that's how you do this. But, you know, there's some blog, or there's some YouTube video that someone has explained, you know, how to do it. And I think it's really, really, really changed the game for people who maybe had never wanted to start a business before, or, you know, never thought that they could, where all of a sudden it's so plug and play. It's pretty amazing. I know I sound like I'm an ad for Shopify, but it was game changing. You know, like it was for me, especially with no tech background.
Yeah. I mean, you think you're bad. I run a whole podcast about it and I don't get paid by Shopify. So that's how much we're trying to endorse this thing. But I mean, we've even had a client recently. They run a custom build platform, Google Analytics. I said to the web guys, can you install that? And they came back with this enormous quote. You know, to get things like e-commerce running, like it's going to cost a fortune. And within minutes, we were in the client's ear being like, have you heard of Magento? Have you heard of Shopify Plus? Have you heard of Demandware? You know, which is now Salesforce Cloud. I think we need to move. And they're like, we haven't got the budget for that. And I sort of said, but instead of paying for all these little things, we could move. It's literally that. And we'd have all this stuff out of the box, which I think is
right.
So important.
It's like paying now or paying later. What do you want?
Exactly. Yeah. Pain and pay, I think,
right,
are the two sides
right.
of it. Yeah. So let's roll back to 2018 then. So you launched the shop, you chose your tech. How long did it take to really get started? And what were some of the things you did to, I know you said straight away, this wasn't about making money in the early days. It was about, you know, it's just almost have fun and sort of, you know, become the scientist, make some toothpaste, which I find very exciting. But how did you go from that to then getting, you know, your first wave of sales? Obviously, Recharge was there. You were on subscription straight away. How did you get that first, you know, first wave of customers in the door?
Yeah. So, you know, back in 2018, it was the very beginning of, not the beginning, but it was the coalescence of the zero waste eco movement with like Instagram and social media, right? It was the beginning of those influencers. They, you know, had just started going, like people were talking about it. People have been blogging about it for years, right? But it didn't really start to take hold on social media until around 2018. And so there were people who were, you know, posting in their Instagram about, you know, bringing your own bag to the grocery store, or shopping in bulk, and they were looking for products that were more eco-friendly and they were finding mine. And so I remember when I first started, it was my friends. So, you know, I was a TV producer and I had a lot of friends who, you know, also were passionate about the environment. And then before that, actually, I was a surf instructor. And so a lot of my friends, if you're in the surf community, you also are super passionate about plastic pollution and the environment. So I already had a base of people that I knew who would buy, and my family and friends, you know, and things like that. But then I remember starting to see the first name that I didn't recognize come through, being like, where are these people coming from? And just being like, wow. And all of them were coming from these zero waste blogs and Instagram accounts. And so I was like, wow, this is really interesting. Yeah. So it was the beginning of, it was that. It was, you know, kind of people becoming more aware of the plastic problem, of conservation in the environment, and then people being vocal about it on social media and then recommending products like mine.
Wow. And I guess that is such a testament to the product. I think you found the right product in whether you, I'm sure there was more in the background of setting out to, you know, I'm sure you looked and couldn't find this product, therefore found a gap in the market. But equally, I think, yeah, knowing that the product itself was something that people would be passionate about and they would talk about. I mean, equally, I could say exactly the same statement in reverse of, you know, how surprised you were that actually this isn't just me who wants this. Actually, people do want to buy this and they're telling all their friends and sharing it digitally. I mean, it literally sounds like the marketer's dream of just kind of like, how's the marketing going? Yeah, it's great. Haven't had to do anything recently. You know,
yeah.
Just, everybody's talking about it.
We were the only ones, literally. So we were the first ever subscription toothpaste tablet, which I know, you know, it's like, what a niche, but like we were the only ones and there was a market. And I didn't think there would be a market. And I think the whole reason that we were the only ones is because, you know, I'm positive that the big toothpaste probably looked into this and was like, people don't want that. People don't want, you know, this isn't something that it didn't probably seem attractive to bigger brands. And it wasn't something that, unless you're living this lifestyle, you see as something that is a pain point. And so I think that's, you know, really what gave us the leg up there, because there was literally nobody else doing it. And it actually took a really long time before other brands got in on it. So we had a long time of being the only one doing it.
Which I imagine, you know, bringing it back to what we're talking about in this series, subscriptions, I imagine then the power of the subscription was even greater, because then when people were catching up, you already had the email database, you had people subscribed, right. You had money coming in. And as long as you keep those, it's easier to keep those guys engaged than it is for your competitors to try and steal them.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. And like toothpaste tablets is not new. They have been around since, you know, the 80s. But the idea of it being a subscription, the idea of it being refillable is what was new. And so it was like, you know, I think that was the game changing, is that it, and also the fact that our tablets, they were formulated to actually taste like really good. A lot of what was on the market, you know, was kind of wasn't foamy and it wasn't super minty. And I think that that's also something that I was like, people don't want to compromise just to be eco-friendly. Like it needs to perform as well as what's already on the market and also be eco-friendly. And so I think, you know, that combined with the set it and forget it, it's just going to show up at your house. And the fact that we, you know, from the very beginning, we explain like why it matters so much and what we're doing to be, you know, planet first, which was glass bottles, aluminum lids, compostable refill pouches, shipped to you, you know, with a low carbon footprint. And then we pay to offset anything mm-hmm. that we can't already, you know, mitigate. And so I think it all just becomes like a really compelling story. And then you have those customers and then they want to stick with you. You know, and I think that really helped us out.
Nice. And I guess a really big question off the back of that then is, you know, you've mentioned a whole load of things apart from one, and the one you haven't mentioned is price. So you make it convenient, right. It's on subscription, it's good for the planet, people are bought into all of that. How did you go about pricing it? I imagine it wasn't something you just set the price on day one. It's been the same ever since.
It's actually been similar the whole time. So for us, it was... it's actually really funny when we first went viral. I guess I didn't explain like how we actually launched. So we were, you know, getting attention from zero waste bloggers and Instagrammers, which was really great. And then at one point, this was back in the heyday of Facebook videos where like everybody, like all the different
when that was still
doing,
a thing. Yeah.
a huge thing. And yeah. Women's Health asked us, they had been doing little basically vignettes on women-owned businesses. And so they emailed me out of the blue and was like, would you be interested in, you know, a little feature? And these things at the time got like a few hundred thousand views. It was not that big of a deal. They asked me to shoot it on my iPhone, send it to them. And then they would put together a video and put it on their Facebook page. And so what happened is I sent that and I sent it over to them. And that video ended up going insanely viral. Like it was above and beyond what they ever expected. And they run ads against those videos. And so it was doing so well, they then put it across all Hearst properties. So that is Women's Health, Cosmo Magazine, 17 Magazine, O Magazine, Oprah's Magazine, all of those ended up putting the same video out there. We ended up just skyrocketing. And that was the beginning of being like, whoa, we have a business and this is real. So kind of going back to that, that's when I actually was still making it in my living room. And I was like, I didn't even have business insurance at that time. And I didn't know my pricing structure at this time. And I was like, am I going to be upside down on this? Like, am I going to go broke? Like, is this like, what the heck just happened? And so luckily the pricing did work out, but we are a premium product. And, you know, we are really, really, really open and transparent of why we are more expensive. And, you know, we have glass bottles, we have aluminum lids, we use premium ingredients. We're made here in the US. Most toothpaste is not made in the US. And, mm-hmm. you know, and what we kind of explain to people is that if being eco-friendly and being eco-ethical was the same price as everything else, then everybody would do it. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like the whole thing is that it is more expensive. It's more expensive because the materials are more expensive. It's more expensive because we pay fair wages to people. You know, every single thing that we do is more expensive. And unfortunately, that just means it's going to be a more expensive product. But I think it's something that our customers understand, and they're, you know, it's kind of that voting with your dollars mentality of supporting a small business that you think is making big changes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And again, bringing it back into kind of just the recharge ecosystem, I think you've got all of this going on. You've got more people signing up to subscriptions. How do you manage those people? And when I say manage is a terrible word for it, so apologies. But how do you like engage with your community? How do you keep them engaged with the product? How do you keep them subscribed? How do you stop them all sort of disappearing out? As you say, there are a lot more people in the market now. So how do you communicate with that community?
I mean, that's the name of the game, right?
It is indeed. That's why I'm asking.
It's like, it's the secret sauce that makes brands successful or not, you know? So for us, we're really, really lucky that we have a super passionate base to begin with, right? So I do everything from, we write these incredibly long blog posts that explain the choices that we're making. And the reason that we do that is like, no one reads them, right? Like very few people read them. But the people who do read them are the ones who tell their friends and who post about us and who really become our advocates. So I see information as a way to turn customers into advocates. I think that they really, especially ours, that if you're a mission-driven customer, you're supporting the brand because you believe in the change that they're making. So we make sure that we explain the decisions that we're making, the good and the bad, right? Because sustainability is incredibly nuanced. And so we kind of explain what we're doing. We explain what can be improved, what we're working on. You know, we do things like we're in the process of getting B Corp certified. You know, we're women-owned. We're, you know, we kind of do all of the things that our customer cares about, because honestly, it's also what I care about. And so it really is aligned. And, you know, we're really lucky that when you do have a subscription base, you know, not only is that really incredibly helpful because you have this intimate relationship with the customer where they're just like, I trust you to just send me product, you know, every few months. Like that's like an amazing thing for someone to do with a brand. But also like, as we continue to make new products, we already have at least the beginning of a built-in customer base for that. So we released deodorant last year in September, and it was incredibly successful because the exact customer who would want to buy our toothpaste, you know, with premium ingredients made in an ethical way, you know, plastic free, they're the exact person who'd want to buy our deodorant as well, you know? And so it just becomes this flywheel of growth. And I feel really lucky, and we built it on the back of Shopify and Recharge for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think something you've hit on there that I think is quite an important point actually is every store owner and every marketeer and every shop, you know, anyone who works in e-commerce, you want to see lifetime value increase. And I think you're kind of hitting it two ways, really. One is that you've obviously got the subscriptions. The second one is you're launching new products for your customers. So I guess a really big question is that there are a lot of stores that only sell a single product, like you guys used to. How did you develop that second product? Like, were customers involved in that? Was it just really obvious? Or did you just, you know, kind of like you said that you're passionate about the business, you drive a lot of the decisions anyway, because you were also one of your customers. How did you come up with doing the deodorant? I know there's other products in there as well, but how did you go from sort of single product to multi-product to lots of products?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was the single product from like toothpaste to mouthwash was very simple because it was just something that people were asking for. So it was, we have toothpaste tablets.
And you use it at the same time as well. So.
Right. So it's like, why not make mouthwash tablets? People are asking for it and we know how to do it. So that was, you know, and then of course, like a bamboo toothbrush, plastic-free floss, all of those things. Our plastic-free whitening gel is actually the only plastic-free whitening gel on the market. And we did that because honestly, I was like, how can I whiten? Like I was trying to think, I'm like, how the heck can I whiten my teeth? Like, am I going to use, I can't use, like, I don't want to use, you know, strips. So those aren't eco-friendly. And I don't want to use the pens. Those are plastic. So like, what is out there? And I was just like, wait a minute, we now know oral care. We're in this world now, you know, how would we make this? Right. And it was actually much more complicated than you would think because it's exposed to air, all these different things, but it's like, these are the problems that we get to now solve. And, you know, it was something where I had started seeing, first of all, I get on the phone with two customers every Friday. So we pull one from social media and one from customer support, and we ask them if they'd be open for a feedback call. And I hop on there and I talk with them and I ask them what they like about Bite, what we can do to improve, and then kind of where they also could see us in their lives, right? And so I was starting to get this idea that people were seeing Bite outside of just oral care. They were asking for more things, whether it was skincare, hair care, you know, body care. And so I was like, okay, you know, our customer is starting to see us more as not just an oral care company, but as like a zero waste, trustworthy eco-friendly company. So like what would make sense? And so I had been using, you know, the deodorant that comes in a cardboard tube since the very beginning. And there were a lot of problems with it. Like it gets super soggy under your armpit. It's a pain to push up because it's like circular. You can only get one finger up there. You can't travel with it. Like it was a mess. And so I was like, you know what? Yeah. And so that's why I was like, this is our entry point. Our entry point to personal care is deodorant because what's out there sucks, you know? And so I was like, all right, let's do this. And so it was like, what if we apply the same Bite mentality of, you know, how do we do this in the best way for people on the planet? What does this look like? And so that's how we ended up with it's actually the first 100% plastic-free refillable deodorant with compostable refills. And it was not easy to make. It was custom componentry. It was a lot, but it was really fun. And it was a direct response to, you know, my personal life experience and then customers asking for us to get into different areas in their lives.
And I mean, let's just jump back to that Friday call, you know, talking to existing customers. I mean, that sounds so powerful. I mean, we were talking literally as a team today in my business. We were talking about how anyone who joins our company needs to go through, you know, sort of, you've got to learn the ropes, you've got to learn the trade before you can do anything else. And the reason I bring that up is I think so often people that are running businesses are making decisions based on what they can see and what they know. And often the things they can see and the things they know are very different to what people are seeing on the ground. In digital, there have been a lot of clients over the years that have contacted us and said, you know, our website's great. You know, there's 1,000 people that have managed to buy a product on it this month. You know, why is our conversion rate only, you know, 0.1%? And we sort of said, well, 1,000 people have decided to put up with it because they need it that badly. Or maybe they got so far into your checkout process, they decided to finish. You know, like it's not a laughing matter. You know, you have a rubbish website. Your brand is not good. It's not portrayed well. The products are not sought after enough. Like you've got some serious things to fix it. You know, and having that conversation. I think the fact that you're taking time out and actually speaking to customers, I think is incredibly powerful. We've had some very successful businesses like you guys on the podcast, talking about doing focus groups, talking about even doing lives. You know, where some of the directors actually go on video live and do like a live webinar, live podcast and talk to customers, you know, ask us any question, yeah. Which is incredibly dangerous because you're going to get those nutters on the internet. There's always going to be somebody who's ready to, you know, I think they're called trolls at the moment is the current word for them. But, you know, it's a very powerful thing, I think, to actually talk directly to customers. Is there a way you select those guys or is it just completely at random, one from customer service and one from, you know, one who's ordered recently?
It kind of depends on what we're focusing on. It is more random, but I try to go for a customer who's been with us for a while and then also a customer that maybe recently churned. So it kind of all depends on what we're focusing on. If I know that we have a new product launch coming up, I'll probably talk to customers that have added on, you know, if they were a toothpaste subscriber, they added on deodorant. I know that we have a new product coming out. I want to talk to the customers that added on deodorant because they're probably the people who might want to add something else on. So what are they thinking? How are they, you know, so it's a very fluid way to choose them, but it's always with kind of a plan in mind.
Definitely. No, it sounds good. And I mean, one thing that's been an absolute thread through every answer you've given so far, which I absolutely love, is sustainability. If someone's sitting there right now and their brand isn't very sustainable, what would you suggest are some of the first things they should look at? And I'll add a caveat from a let's sort the planet out point of view, not from a, you know, just a bragging right or just a claim where, you know, we're kind of carbon neutral because we've scraped in, you know, just above the bar. What advice would you give to some of those guys to say, look, if you're, you know, selling products, these are some simple things you should start looking at?
So, I mean, the first thing I would say is like, starting a business is so hard and I get it. And, you know, the fact that anybody who's listening, who even if you're just treading water, if you're keeping your head above water, I get that it's so hard. And adding another vertical to that of being like, let's try to make my business sustainable. It's a really big ask. So I first want to say like, thank you to anybody who's even thinking about that, because that's like, you know, I get it. It can feel like an impossible task. And so I would say, you know, look for the high impact, easy wins that you can do. And again, not for bragging rights, but will actually have an impact, you know, whether it's through your supply chain or to your customer. So, you know, things like, you know, making your shipping carbon neutral, right? I think that's something that there are these plugins you can put in. And we calculate it a different way. We don't use the plugins, but if you wanted to, you could use these plugins and you can pay to offset shipping. You could even ask your customer to pay to offset the shipping, you know? And so yes, there's problems with carbon neutrality. There are major issues with that, you know, market to begin with, but it's better than nothing,
yes.
Right? And it's also, yeah. And it's also reminding your customer that like there is an impact on the environment when you buy online, right? And so this is something that like, you know, hopefully this is just kind of, you know, it's training and getting people to understand that. I would also say, look at your packaging. You know, it is so easy to change from a poly mailer to a paper mailer or a, you know, a bubble wrap to a recycled post-consumer newspaper envelope. And like, yes, it is more expensive if your margins can handle it. I do think it's something that is just really important. And if your customer cares about it. I mean, I think one of the coolest things, which is just, this is a little bit off the cuff, but I think these brands that are really big, who you wouldn't think care about the planet, are actually making these, and maybe they don't care about the planet, actually, let me just first say that, but they understand their customers do. And like, yeah. One of the things, and like, it, to me, it's like, I don't really care if you really care about the planet or if you're doing it, you know, because your customer cares about the planet. If you're doing it in the right way, it's still net positive for the planet, right? So like Skims, yeah. I ordered from them, they ship plastic free. It was a paper envelope. They didn't use plastic. It was a compostable bag. And I was like, this is really interesting because who would have thought that Skims would have been like that, right? So it's like, if you're a brand, like Skims has a gigantic marketing team and a gigantic, you know, like a data, I'm sure, you know, analysis. And if they're thinking their customer cares about this enough to do things that are more expensive, yours probably does too. So like maybe make a few different changes and, you know, make sure that you talk about why you do that. But I think like the biggest thing would be shipping. So paying to offset and then getting plastic out of the equation of that. And then it's like, you don't have to change your product in that way. You don't have to change anything about that. You can just, that's some impact that you could do right there.
Yeah, definitely. And something I'm going to flag as well, just to, I'm sure you will have no issue directing people at your website. If you go on the Bite website, which is Bite, B-I-T-E, toothpaste bits, .com. There is a page in the footer and also a page in the header as well called sustainability. One of the reasons I asked the question is when I jumped on this page, I was like, okay, you're basically giving other stores the handbook on how to be eco-friendly. So you're talking about using bottles instead of plastic, envelopes instead of plastic, boxes instead of plastic, refills. So you're using the same thing several times because it gets refilled. I actually think, you know, and then there's also a bit about shipping. I think this is actually amazing just to see the different things you can do. So if you're sitting there thinking, okay, I don't know how to get sustainable, check out bitetoothpastebits.com. Definitely a really cool guide.
Yeah. And actually we also have trybite.com as well. So there, it's a little easier. you could do bite toothpastes, but trybite.com is also us. It'll redirect you right there.
Nice. I searched Bite toothpaste. It's how I found you guys on Google. I was a massive advocate of Google itself. But,
yeah.
Cool. Coming into land then. So like, let's talk about the last thing. Without giving away any trade secrets, or as you say, the secret sauce, where are you guys going now? What's big on your radar? What do you think is going to change over the next year or two that you guys, you know, you want to be part of that change, you want to be ahead of it?
Oh, it's a great question. You know, I think so as we're starting to test things like TV. So we had our first TV ad start a few weeks ago. We're, you know, heavily getting into podcasts. We're looking for basically new channels, new verticals where people might want to see Bite, where they could see us in their like lives, event marketing. So I think, you know, it's really exciting. I continue to believe in e-commerce, especially subscription, as it continues to grow. But I also think like people are getting out, they're getting out into the real world, they're going out again. And so it's really important to see them where they are there as well. And so we're spending a lot of time focusing on that and kind of figuring out, you know, what the new world looks like as we continue to open up. So
nice. It's interesting you mentioned TV. I'm not going to say who, because they've not signed our contract and agreed to sponsor yet, but we do actually have a TV, I don't even want to say network, and I don't want to give too much away, but there is something relating to TV that are massive. They have their own channels, their own technology. We've got a very, very large player in the TV market looking to come on our show to talk about essentially a new partnership they've got with Shopify, where there's going to be a lot of TV advertising going on. So I highly recommend people, once we're off record, I'll tell you who it is. But for everyone listening, it's not to be shared yet, I'm afraid. But look,
exciting.
Lindsay, it's been so great to have you on. And I mean, there's so much good stuff there. So I think, I mean, the main bullet points I've written down is be sustainable, talk to your customers and try and get it right for them whilst keeping it right for the planet. So Lindsay, thank you so much for joining the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Nick. This was really fun.
Great stuff. And as I said right at the start, this is the end of the Recharge series. If you want to check out Recharge, check out the link in the description of the podcast. If you can't see that, best to go on the winningwithshopify.com site and have a look at our episodes on there. I am aware that at the time of recording, that episode player is actually broken, which I noticed a couple of days ago. I will make sure one of my team fix that before this goes out on Friday. So thank you so much for listening, everybody. Back again next week, and I hope you're staying safe.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. You can subscribe to our weekly newsletter for exclusive offers at winningwithshopify.com. And don't forget to check out our Facebook group by searching for Winning with Shopify on Facebook. Over and out.